que era San Valentín.
It was Valentine's Day. My wife and I were sitting down to our Valentine's Day dinner and we opened up my laptop.
Ecuatorianos, estas últimas semanas, un medio digital ha insinuado que el presidente del gobierno del Ecuador, su presidente, está presuntamente envuelto en una supuesta red de corrupción.
My daughters could hear the president of the republic, the most powerful man in the country, saying that their parents were news assassins, media terrorists.
Con el ataque de narcotraficantes, terroristas, crimen organizado, políticos inescrupulosos y terroristas mediáticos.
This address, live streamed on February 14th, didn't bring Ecuadorians any breaking news. Rather, Guillermo Lasso was using his presidential platform to counter allegations of corruption made by an online news organization, La Posta.
My wife Monica and I started working on the investigation together. One day, we came across a classified police report that had been filed away as top secret. It was from an anti-drug squad who had been following a man they thought was some minor drug dealer. But he wasn't. He was actually best friends with the president's brother-in-law.
La Posta's specific focus on the role played by the president's brother-in-law during a particular operation is now under investigation by the authorities. La Posta is not the only media outlet to have done this kind of investigative reporting. Others have done it too. But what La Posta has exposed are clues suggesting that certain criminal gangs may have infiltrated the government.
When we launched this investigation, we called it the Big Godfather, but we had no idea just how big it would turn out to be. As it developed, we found links between President Lasso, his brother-in-law, his cabinet, his police force, and one of the international drug cartels operating in Ecuador, the Albanian Mafia. We got first-person testimonies which talked about mafia money being used in the president's election campaign, corruption at the highest level of government. Here was incontestable evidence of something we had long suspected. Ecuador was stealthily being turned into a narco state.
To attribute Ecuador's evolution into a narco state, a government effectively infiltrated by drug cartels, solely to Guillermo Lasso would be wrong. It starts with the geography. Ecuador is bordered by two of the world's biggest cocaine producers, Colombia and Peru, and it sits right on the Pacific coast, perfectly positioned to connect drug dealers across the continent. It has a dollarized economy, which facilitates the operations and transactions of any international cartel, be it Mexican, Russian, Albanian. And then there's the instability of the infrastructure itself. Ecuador has been politically volatile, going from a left-wing populist president, Rafael Correa, to his former ally turned right-wing rival, Lenin Moreno, which left its institutions exposed long before Lasso took over.
For me, there are two reasons why today Ecuador seems to have turned into a narco state. The first is political, and it has to do with the departure of left-wing president Rafael Correa in 2017. He was followed by Lenin Moreno's government, which began to push right-wing neoliberal policies that weakened and hollowed out state institutions. The second factor has to do with the media. During Correa's tenure, the relationship between the government and the media was hostile, very negative. Yet, the antagonism between them, whether state or private media, was productive. Journalists were doing their job. When Moreno turned up, and Lasso is basically a continuation of Moreno, the media, or at least the vast majority of the media, aligned themselves with the government. They stopped monitoring it, and they missed the growing issues with security.
For many of the journalists covering the drug trade and its effect on Ecuadorian politics, the biggest issue now is their own security. 2 months ago, in a clearly coordinated attack, 5 reporters were sent letter bombs. Another 2 were forced to flee the country, and many more have sought government protection. Last year alone, Ecuador recorded more than 4,500 narco-related killings. Anyone covering those stories runs the risk of becoming a target too. It's a climate of intimidation that has a censorious effect on news coverage.
I think it's fear that sets that agenda. The drug trade hasn't infected journalism. It's fear of the drug trade that has infected journalism. Among the mainstream press, there is this kind of implicit ban on naming organized criminal gangs.
Tres muertos, tres heridos. Ataque a bala. La noche de ayer en una cancha de la Casuarina en Guayaquil.
When you see reports, there is always this faceless, nameless monster. Never a specific mention of Mr. Such and Such, who belongs to this particular gang and associates of this particular cartel. The reports do talk about the bloody war that is being waged, but without any kind of explanation as to why it's happening. The press has taken a very cautious stance because there's never been any guarantees for our safety. Killing someone in Ecuador is really cheap. A person can be murdered for just $35.
We put ourselves in imminent danger, not only when we're covering stories that deal directly with organized crime, but even when we are dealing with political stories, because the tentacles of organized crime are difficult to separate. If you're covering a prison story, you are probably aware of the risks. But if you're following a political story, it might turn out to have a drug trafficking angle as well. It's a bit like wandering around a pitch black room. You never know whose interests you might end up treading on.
It could be the interests of drug traffickers. It could be the interests of the police. Or it could even be the interests of the president himself. Earlier this month, lawmakers in Ecuador's National Assembly brought an impeachment case against Guillermo Lasso, the second in as many years, this time on charges of embezzlement. Part of the evidence used against him, La Posta's expose.
La Posta's investigation exposed Lasso's entourage, mainly Lasso's brother-in-law, those linked to him, as well as Lasso's management of state-owned companies. I don't know what got La Posta's investigation going in the first place, whether it may have political or financial motives, but what's clear is that their scoop was the key piece of evidence in the impeachment trial, and it's been crucial in terms of exerting pressure on Lasso and the calls for his resignation.
I mean, there are some in the media who feel La Posta's revelations fall short of the required journalistic standards. They point out how elements of the investigation have not been properly verified. That being said, their revelations stirred up the momentum that has been building against the president on the streets ever since the first attempt to impeach him in 2022. As long as the ongoing social situation is so poorly managed, the president will continue to hang by a thread.
Lasso is still hanging by that thread, but only because he dissolved the National Assembly before it could hold his impeachment hearing, invoking something called muerte cruzada, which translates as mutual death. It's a constitutional measure employed for the first time in Ecuador's history, and it grants the president the right to rule by decree for 6 months or until snap elections are held.
Que el decreto emitido en esta mañana de muerte cruzada por parte del presidente de la República es ilegal.
Mutual death, a fitting term, maybe even an omen, given the country's current narco climate.
The Ecuadorian press is no longer an impartial player in the game between politicians and organized crime. We've actually become a target. This isn't normal, but it's our current reality. We are working in circumstances where the next death we report could well be one of our own.
Thanks for watching. If you'd like to see more media analysis on the U.S., Taiwan, China, or anywhere across the globe, we have plenty to offer. Just click here.